Well, several years ago, my cousin gave me a copy of a notebook that my grandmother had written for her grandchildren. It was her life's memories, and this is a picture of my grandparents. I'd like to share something of her memories with you this morning. She was born in 1887, and of course she lived through both of the world wars. And she writes of giving birth to my father in 1915, just days after one of the first Zeppelin raids killed many of their neighbors. And they were terrified of the Zeppelins. You never knew where they were going to drop their bombs. Another one hit the local school, the church school, and the funeral of the children, and this is a picture of the bombs that fell on Ramsgate, and the funeral of the children was attended by hundreds of people. It was one of the first tragedies in the First World War. Well, my grandfather was called up and sent to France, and she writes of the awful times he went through in the trenches, once getting separated from his unit and having to find his way through France. But her faith in God brought her much comfort and peace, she says. Ramsgate was often bombarded, so she had to move several times to take her children to safety. But she makes light of the deprivations she suffered and the agony of separation from loved ones. She wrote that she would never forget the morning the First World War ended. People just went mad. A great crowd surged up the high street of Ramsgate and many thronged into the church. It was wonderful. Well, then when she writes about 1939, she speaks of the anxiety and the dread that people felt after war was declared, the stress of not knowing what would happen from day to day. She moved from the coast to Edenbridge in Kent, and she describes the Battle of Britain, watching the planes overhead from the attic of the house they were living in Edenbridge. My grandfather initially stayed in Ramsgate, and he witnessed the soldiers being brought over from Dunkirk. He reported that practically everything that could float went across the channel to bring the men to safety. And many of the returning soldiers had the most terrible injuries. My grandparents, along with the fishermen who rescued our troops, called it a miracle. They were amazed at the calmness of the sea. And then she goes on to write about her anxieties when my father and his brother were called up. Well, when my grandparents were alive, I remember them very well. I don't think that I really appreciated what they went through in those wars. And reading her memoirs has really touched me again and reminded me of the importance of Remembrance Day. And although the World Wars seem so long ago, we remember today all those people who've died in the armed forces over the years. But not just those people, but the ordinary people, people like my grandparents, who went through a lot. Since 1945, of course, there have been countless conflicts all over the world, which we also remember today. Maybe some of you have sons and daughters or friends who've been serving in the armed forces in more recent conflicts. So whether we can remember distant wars or whether we are affected by the many conflicts that have happened since or are still going on, by our presence at these remembrance services, we're paying tribute to the people and acknowledging our debt to those who gave their lives for us. It is good to be reminded that those who died, about 1.5 million in the world wars and thousands since, were just like us. Ordinary men and women wanting the same things out of life. Most of them who gave their lives were very young. They never lived to see their children and their grandchildren grow up. Their lives were cut short. Their time in this world was fleeting. And we've just read part of Psalm 90. It's quite a long psalm, so we just read those verses 1 to 6 and verse 12. And the whole psalm speaks a lot about time. It mentions days and years, mornings and evenings. It talks about succeeding generations. It speaks of God's time and our time. Or as the title of this sermon puts it, human frailty and the sovereignty of God. It's a very suitable psalm to read on Remembrance Day, especially as the hymn that is always sung on these occasions, O God, our help in ages past, is based on Psalm 90. And I've got 3 points this morning. What does this psalm say about God's time? What does it say about our time? And what does it say about Jesus, the one who bridged the gap between God's time and our time? I wonder how much you've thought about how God's time is different to our time. He doesn't see time as you and I do. He always was, he always is, and he always will be. He doesn't need clocks and calendars. The first two verses in that psalm tell us he was there before creation, before he gave birth to the world. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And then verse 4 in that psalm goes on to tell us, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. And the Apostle Peter makes a similar statement in his second letter, saying that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God's relationship with time is completely different from our own. Even 1,000 years is like the blink of an eye. And when scientists speak of 4 billion years as the age of the world, I personally find that very hard to grasp. But even more difficult is that the Bible tells us God is outside of time. If you picture time, said C.S. Lewis, as a straight line along which we travel, then you must picture God as the whole page on which the line is drawn. In Mere Christianity, he says that. And in his hymn, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, Isaac Watts paraphrases it, before the hills in order stood or earth received her frame, from everlasting, thou art God, to endless years the same. So that's what the psalm says about God's time. What does it say about our time? This psalm compares them, the two. Billy Graham was once asked what he was most surprised about in life. He answered, "It's brevity." And he lived a full and active life, more or less active, to his death at 99. He still considered life had been too short. But as we look back to previous generations, life expectancy was much shorter, wasn't it? People considered they'd reached the end of this life at 70 years and 10. Most of my grandparents never got near what my age is now. It's just a bit sobering thought. Moses mentions that the length of days is 70 or 80 years, but only for the strong. These days, it's not unusual for 90-year-olds and over to be leading a fulfilled and active life. And our grandchildren may all hope to reach their centuries if this trend goes on increasing. But however long we live, proportionately, it is a brief time. And isn't it true, too, that as we get older, life seems to go faster and faster? Have you ever seen the poem Under the Clock in Chester Cathedral? It's entitled Time's Paces. When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I waxed more bold, time strolled. When I became a full grown man, time ran. When older still I daily grew, time flew. Soon I shall find in passing on time gone. O Christ, wilt thou have saved me then? And in our psalm, verses 3-6 speaks in that way too. Moses, who wrote the psalm, knew all about the brevity of life. As he looked back over his upbringing in Egypt, his wanderings in the wilderness, he remembered a whole generation of people who'd come and gone, who'd lived and died. And in that hymn, Watts puts the picture of our lives as a brief dream. Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. But the psalm has another picture too. It talks about grass springing up and then as quickly withering away as it does in hot countries. The emphasis is on how brief our time is. And so the contrast between our time and God's time couldn't be greater. We are bound by time, but God is not. And as Ecclesiastes 3 puts it, there is a time to be born and a time to die. So God's time is everlasting. Our time is brief. Jesus is the one who bridged that gap between God's time and ours. John's Gospel uses his first chapter to explain that Jesus was with God in the beginning. He says that although all things were made through him, yet he came into our lives. He came into our space as the unrecognized one, the light. I missed one of my pictures up there. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus shared our humanity, including our death and suffering. And Graham Kendrick puts it beautifully, "From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled. Hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered." Jesus, who inhabited eternity, voluntarily accepted the limitations of time and the vulnerability which involves suffering and dying. But on this Remembrance Day, we remember too that Jesus rose again. And that's why we can say not only, O God, our help in ages past, but also our hope for years to come. Be thou our guard while troubles last, and our eternal home. Verse 12 in that psalm has this prayer. teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. May that be our prayer too. Amen.